So I'm just going to get, I'll just get right to it because I'd rather just let you guys ask what you want to ask. But I thought we had a phenomenal night tonight. To me, the ability to come back into the Barclays Center here where we have phenomenal partners for all of this, but to come back in here for Takeover 4 in Brooklyn, you know, 4 years in where you're coming here with four nights back-to-back and have Takeover sell, I think we were 14,000, around 700. It's the highest grossing NXT event we've ever done and completely sold out. So, you know, hard to complain about that in year four. And so, you know, it was a successful night across the board. A couple of injuries, but hopefully nothing too serious. I'm not quite too sure how Gargano's going to be. Looks like he might have dislocated his knee, but we're not sure. EC3 bit dinged up, but we'll know more here in a little bit from Doc. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to you guys and let you get the questions, and I'll let you run it because I don't know
who
we're going to on the phone.
For those on the phone, we're going to take a couple questions first in the room. And I'm going to be completely random, so let's start with Mike Johnson.
How are you, Paul?
I'm good. How are you?
You mentioned it was the highest grossing NXT event of all time. So you're coming back here in 6 months for WrestleMania. How do you guys intend to top that, especially with the obvious competition that weekend?
I put on the best event I can.
Does the strategy going into return change because of the competition that's obviously there for WrestleMania weekend?
Not for me. Not one bit. I mean, it's not like I'm trying to step back ever and say, like, well, maybe I'll hold that back and don't give it to him. Or, you know, to me, this is about every time you get a chance to get at the plate, you give them, you swing for the fences. I do it every time. And, look, I'm confident in this brand. I don't care who comes in, to be honest. I don't care who tries to run again. It doesn't matter to me. I'll put this brand up against anything in the world. I'll put these athletes up against anything in the world. I think that's cocky. I don't really care. Fans will go see what they want to see. And when it's all said and done and the smoke clears, I'll put my card up against anybody's. Top to bottom. Anyone in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. James, you had a question? James?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Just say your name and outlet so the people on the phone can hear it.
So they can steal your questions and write it into their stuff. Yeah.
Jan Filo from Burrell Division in the UK. I guess my question is, how do you see NXT evolving further? It's grown to such an incredible size compared to where it started. What is next for the brand?
I think to just continue doing what we're doing, continue creating talent, continue to create and evolve the business. Yeah, it's one of the things I think I'm most proud of with it is I think if you look at the main roster right now, you look at the women's revolution, evolution, you know, I'm not going to say it's the root of it, but it's a driving force behind it, the entire system. Where it goes next, I think, is just trying to always top what we do, trying to always deliver more than what we have now. But I think you see expansion of that as the things that will deliver. NXT UK, you'll have announcements on that very soon about where it is and how and everything. We go back there next week to shoot more. It's spectacular. You're going to love it when you see it. You know, I think you'll see that replicated in different places. I think you see the expansion globally. I think you'll see this brand begin to tour more globally. And just, you know, we're a long way from where it was called developmental. And I'll still hear that thrown out there now, and I'll still hear that said. The only thing that's really developmental about it is the fact that there are people learning to, you know, kind of there's a lot of developmental aspects to it in some ways, but that's everything. You'll never stop learning in this business, but it's the growth of how to do things from a production standpoint, I think, more than anything else. You know, what we did here tonight, I don't think appears to be developmental. The touring doesn't appear to be developmental. None of it does. It's a third brand. And that third brand will continue to expand and grow and push. And that competition is good because it will make everybody step up to another level. And You know, I think that high tide will rise all ships, and there's room for all of it. One of the things that's really exciting to me is if I looked at this car tonight and how good it was and how successful it was, but, you know, I can go down a list of a lot of stuff that wasn't on this car tonight, and then you start adding into that the Keith Lees, the Riddles, the people out of the Mae Young Classic, you know, all the talent that were just in Mae Young Classic too. Like, there's an abundance and a wealth of talent that are sitting right behind this, just waiting for their shot at the plate, and they'll knock it out of the park too. So it just pushes everybody to be better. You know, that's the plan.
All right, guys, we're going to go to the phone for a question. Melinda, take it away. Guys, just a reminder, one question per hour.
And we'll go to Nick Hausman, WrestleZone.
Hi, Hunter. Congratulations on another great show. Do you find yourself...
Say, it would be awesome. Well, let me just stop you for a second, and I'll get you to the question. But it would be awesome if there was another Mike Johnson that was on the phone. That could be the first on the phone, as well as... that would be... That's excellent booking. You know what I mean? Sorry, Nick. Go ahead.
Obviously, we've seen three completely different matches between Ciampa and Gargano. Which of these three matches kind of almost surprised you the most in terms of what they were able to get out of the match? Because, you know, we've seen technical, we've seen aggressive, we've seen the last man standing. Which of the matches kind of surprised you the most?
I don't know that any of the matches surprised me. It's just I love challenging talent to go to places that aren't necessarily their comfort zones with storytelling. And I feel like the one cool thing that these matches have done, they've all been different because as the story has evolved between them, as the intensity of that story, as the aggression of the story, as the desperation of Gargano, they've all gone to different places to take you through the arc of that story. That to me is like it's the art of what we do. And watching them accept that challenge, it's not easy to go three times back-to-back main event telling a story like they are. It's a challenge, and trying to get it to be better than the next one or at least different than the last one so it can be as good as the ones that you did before, that's difficult, and there's an art form to that. And I've watched them grow as performers because of this and just take it to a whole nother level. So that is the thing that is, I don't want to say it's surprising, it's just really cool watching them go through that. I think when, you know, Sean works with them a lot now, and as you watch them grow as performers, it's the part that Sean and I talk about the most, is that the nuance of storytelling that they do, some of which is maybe even missed when you watch it, but knowing what they were going for and how they tried to get there with it, it's just that little bit of nuance to me that is it's the magic of what we do, and watching them grow and do that is impressive.
And we'll next go to Jim Barcelone, Miami Herald.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Paul, thank you so much. Speaking of with the art of it, how much of what you sort of want to happen tonight with the show, the production, the matches, the crowd, and looking at that, how much is it that you're actually saying, okay, I want it to go like this, or is there some impromptu and you just go with the flow with it and how it ended up finishing off for you tonight?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of it that is planned. There's a lot of it that, like, it's live. So you know, there's a saying in the business, it's live, so you can't screw it up. You just kind of have to go with it. Sometimes something happens in a match that you weren't expecting. It just works out better. Sometimes it's not everything you expect it to be. You know, clearly I wasn't planning on Gargano injuring himself in the last sequence of that match. Did it play into it? Yeah. I mean, technically that was supposed to go slightly differently than it all did. We kind of had to make a call on the fly and change a few things just in the actual moment. So it ends up being different. But the truth is no one knows the difference because the people that were putting it together know what they were doing. So that's the beauty of what we do. And, you know, they get there. I knew a wise man I used to work with a lot, and I had a lot of respect for that. You just used to say to me, Keith, if you can just get 70%, 70% of what you have in your head comes out on TV. That is a grand slam. You know, because what you see in your mind is perfect. And then you have to be willing to accept it's not going to be the movie you watch in your brain. It's going to be slightly different, but you have to try to watch that through fresh eyes and listen to the reactions and everything else that happened. You envision it one way, but, you know, I always try to remember that 70%. When he told me that the first time, obviously I was talking about Dream. I don't know if anybody got that from my impression, but I'd say they got a lot more than 70% out tonight. So,
all right,
really good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. We're gonna go back to the room for the next couple questions. Brian.
As you mentioned briefly before, we saw Matt Riddle in the crowd. I was hoping that you could just describe to me the attributes and the things that make Matt Riddle somebody that you thought you had to bring in.
Clearly sharp dresser. Footwear connoisseur. I don't even know he's here, to be honest. There was a green flip-flop sale, I think, just at one of the stores across the way. He just saw us, so he walked over. and Matt brings a lot to the table. He's an amazing athlete. Smart in the way he's adapted what he did in his MMA career. And, you know, I'm sure everybody in here is familiar with him and all the things that he's done. I mean, he's learned a lot on his own in a very brief period of time to get to where he is. I've watched him for a while and, you know, watched his ups and downs and all the things he's had. And, you know, there just comes a time when I think when somebody gets good enough and you go like, yeah, but sometimes there's talent that we look at here. And it's a funny thing because we go through this period where, like, we see the person, we think they're really good, contract or not, we're looking at them and we're going, you know what? They're good doing what they're doing right now. They're progressing. They're learning. They're good. Like, let's let them get to where they can go with that and get to a point where they peak and then see if they're interested in coming here. And then we can take and mold that in a different manner. There's a difference between learning and growing, doing what you're doing. There's a difference between getting to a point where you stagnate or start to regress because you just start to get into the, this is just what I got to do to get by doing this and I'll get there and it'll be good. And this is a certain style that works here and, you know, this works for me, but it's not the big ticket money making. It's not sellout arenas and all this. So you have to kind of watch it and try to see where the rise is, where the still learning is happening and the growth is happening. And when it starts to plateau before it starts to be a bad thing where there's bad habits and things that you can't get past and retrain, you want to get it before it gets there and kind of then redirect it and put it back on that growth platform. So, it's all about the long-term growth of the talent. So we kind of mix that up, you know, but there's a lot of talent out there that we have spoken to. We're very interested in you, but let's just keep you doing what you're doing for a little bit. And if you need help or something starts to go bad for us, call us and let us then pick you up or something. Or if, you know, things get slow, let us help you get booked somewhere, whatever that is, to help them continue to grow. And then when the time is right, they come with us and it's the right thing.
Another one in the room. Jeff?
Jan Murphy, Post Media in Canada. Ricochet, I wondered what you thought of his performance tonight. And you've seen a lot of high flyers make it look really effortless in your career. Where does he rank?
He's phenomenal. He's like a human CGI film, right? Like, I mean, like, sometimes I watch him do things. There was a moment where Sean and I were at Full Sail a little while ago. He did the flip over the top rope where he landed on the floor in front of Velveteen. And we were trying to just come up with some kind of spectacular thing to end that segment. And he goes, I said, you know, like, I mean, no, it's not plausible. Like, what if he's like, if you could just jump over the top rope and just land right in front of him where it just blows his mind? He goes, all right, let's do that. And I was like, no, but like, I meant like not, I was kidding. I meant like not touching anything, just jumping and landing. He's like, right. And then Sean looked at me and he goes, well, can you do that? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, all right, well, great, then just do that. You know, like, it's like a ridiculous, crazy thing. Like, I can barely run across the ring. He's amazing. You know, a lot of guys that do that. The trick is when you're that good at doing what you can do that way is to not make it look easy. it's almost easy to make it look easy when you're that good, right? But when it looks easy, it doesn't look right. It's not supposed to look easy. It's not supposed to look like a dance. It's not supposed to look like gymnastics. It's supposed to look like a fight. So making it not look easy is an art form. Having the grit, the grind, the desire, right? Like Sean could do anything and make it look easy if he wanted to. Then he could also make it look really difficult. Then he could make it look like he was a fighting. The heart, the fight, and the grit is what made Shawn Michaels. Not the flips and the stuff that was easy, because he, quite honestly, can do just about anything. And if he wanted to, he'd probably make it look a lot easier than he did in the ring. The art form is making it look like it's something that it's difficult to do and it's hard to do, and that fight and that grit and that desire. I'd not seen him get pushed like he did tonight, and that's a testament to Adam and how good Adam Cole is, because Adam Cole's in some ways the full package, right? Like he can do just about anything on the stick, everywhere, and to be able to push him to that distance, but also get him to fight back and give you that grit back to you. To me, he earned that win tonight. He earned that North American Championship because he fought. He had a grind through it, and it wasn't easy. It didn't look easy. It didn't look like, well, he's, got some neat flips and won, So that's the art form, and I think that is where he is coming into his own right now.
All right, we'll do the next two on the phone.
And we'll next go to Raj Geary, Wrestling Inc.
Hey, Raj.
Yes, hi, Paul. This is actually Aaron Barbel. Thank you so much for taking the call. You've spoken about Matt Riddle before, as someone you've talked about. What made you change your mind to bring him in at this point?
I think he's ready to come in and get brought the rest of the way. I also think he's matured as a person, which we'll find out. But I think he's matured as a person. He's realized where he wants to get to in the business, as opposed to just kind of having fun being in the business. And there's a difference. So we think now's the right time, but time will tell. He's a very, very talented guy. The sky is the limit. And, we'll see what he can do. It's an interesting thing, because I feel like sometimes people just go, oh, you just bring him in and then just go with it. But it's not that simple. Not everything... Not everybody makes it. Not everything works. Not everything is the way it seems. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So we'll see. I believe in him, and I believe he has a lot of potential and talent. But again, just like everybody else, as they walk in the door, we'll see.
All right. Thanks so much.
We'll next go to Ryan Satin, Pro Wrestling Sheet.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, Ryan.
Sure. Quick question. So Velveteen Dream, on the back of his tights, it said, call me up, Vince. I was just wondering, with something like that, how far in advance did you see something like that? And what do you think Vince's reaction will be?
Oh, you think he meant Vince McMahon? I didn't see that at all. He's got a guy that
he
knows.
Who do you think he was talking about?
Well, the guy, he has a friend, Vince, that just lost his phone. He doesn't, he doesn't have his number anymore. And he was like, dude, call me. I don't know how else to reach you, but I'll be on TV tonight. Like, call me, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. I lost your number. Did you ask me how far in advance I saw it?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that, yeah.
Which is a little conversation we had later about, like, maybe I should see that before you walk out there. I admire the fact that guys want to take a gamble. I admire the fact that guys want to take the risk and go out there on a limb. I admire that. If he is talking about Vince McMahon, there's a couple of different phone calls you could get from Vince McMahon. One you want to get, one you really don't want to get. So you have to be careful when you say, Vince, give me a call, because you never know what call you're going to get.
Noted. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go back to the room for the next couple. Go ahead.
Brian Campbell, CBS Sports.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, in light of what you said earlier about the evolution of NXT and certain elements that still make it a developmental brand, I think the thing that, to me, most makes it a developmental brand is that the better these guys get, the more spectacular, the quicker they're going to get called up to the main roster. And when you realize that this day and age, more than ever before, there's fans who are saying, I like takeovers better than the main roster pay-per-views. And it's almost like a minor league baseball team or college basketball team where you could lose your favorite player. So you see Velveteen Dream says, call me up, Vince. People start talking. What would it take to get to the brand to a point where that's not part of the element? Would it be a giant TV deal for NXT where the idea of getting called up makes you really lose the developmental label on NXT altogether?
Well, I think so. I think though the thing that changes that is the call up or the call back. You know, it's a funny thing because it's almost like college football and the NFL. And I used this example earlier today with somebody, but there's a lot of people like college football better than the NFL. There's a lot of people like the NFL better than college football. There's a lot of players that will be drafted number one that after a couple of games you'll never hear from again, right? They'll collect their money, grab their check, whatever it is. They'll never hardly play, and then they're gone in the league. You know, but yet college football, I mean, obviously there's some differences in the analogy, but like college football is kind of its own thing and the freshness of it because there are people leaving and coming. If college football existed, but yet now if the kid got drafted number two and then it didn't work out, he could go back to play for the college that he played for and come back in like a conquering hero and do well again and reboot and then go to, you know, a different pro team maybe and take his time and then come out of there. And, you know, it's a different scenario. I think that very soon there's the potential to reach a period of time where when something like a draft happens or call it whatever you want, a superstar shakeup or whatever, there could be some call-ups, but I think they'll be much more seen as move-overs. You know, and maybe then the whole thing structures differently, right? Performance center comes into it as a factor, but there are some guys that are the performance center is a lot more than just like we send you in the ring and learn how to take tackles, right? It's strength and conditioning. Like there's so many other factors to it that make you a better, well-rounded athlete in all sense. Like to be honest, I don't know anybody that wouldn't necessarily maybe at for a moment in time go back that way and be able to train every day and have everything be right there. And it's an interesting factor that you could maybe take somebody off of the main roster, rest them for a bit from the brands that they're on, put them into NXT, let them thrive there, let them do well there, or send them to another country where there's a brand there. And, you know, really if you looked at the business as what it is now, but if it was all meaningful everywhere and you could shift and move and do things, there would still be maybe the bigger drivers of Raw and SmackDown always, but it wouldn't be seen as this crazy demotion to go someplace else or anything else. And I do think I see that now, even when, you know, even just in NXT, when that can become a factor as this continues to grow, can become a factor where, yeah, it used to be the call up, and then it's more the getting drafted. It's teams. Teams are slightly different, but you're getting called to different teams and moving to different places. And I think that'll be a really cool time. But for me, anyways, in my head, that's what I see the kind of the long term goal as.
I have one more in the room, Lindsay.
Good pick, yeah.
Oh yes, definitely will. There's going to be pretty much representation across the board. You'll see the finals of the Mae Young Classic there. You'll see the NXT brand there. That's going to be a really cool night. That's one of the things when you talk about NXT. And then you kind of look at what that card will be, but it's a massive part of it. And there'll be a lot of women that have come up over the years that have been a part of the whole growth, even if they were there during a part of time of carrying that lineage through something where they weren't getting that opportunity necessarily, and then to where today was. You know, it's funny because sometimes you look at it and you say, like, we weren't getting the opportunities, but there weren't enough people there to give the opportunities to, maybe, a lot of time. And I don't know that fans were willing to accept it a lot of times in that time frame. The time is right now. You know, I think everybody is sometimes looks at it as, well, we just didn't pull the trigger then, and we pulled the trigger now. Why didn't we do it then? It wasn't acceptable then. It wasn't you know, you can look back at it in hindsight now and say different things. You will see that representation. I will agree with you on the. I thought they had an amazing match tonight. To me, both their growth just in a short period of time, Kyrie's abilities, which she always had a lot of anyways, but her ability to come here, be, change, be a storyteller, a lot of different things that she's done here, really an amazing journey. And Shayna has come from just kind of ground zero to walking in the door and just become this really great performer. And, you know, in some ways, like, I don't know, sometimes I look at it and go, like, I don't know, I might be the most afraid of her on the entire roster at this point in time. Really good, and they had a great match tonight, and I think you'll just see more of that. But the thing that's exciting for me across all of that is, I don't anybody that was in this room that was just at the Mae Young Classic too. There's a wealth of talent out there, especially in that women's division, and I think you'll see that growing exponentially to where, you know, people ask what's next in that, whatever they want it to be, because they're good enough now that they can do any of it, and it's the crowds are willing to accept it. Fans are willing to get behind it. The opportunity's there. They're willing to take it. So now's the time.
All right, we'll do two more on the phone and then two more in the room, and then we're going to wrap. Over to the phones.
And just a reminder, that is *1 on your touchtone telephone to ask a question. And there are no additional questions in the queue over the phone lines.
Great. Go into the room.
Hi, Harry Kettle from WrestleZone.com. Actually, Nick, that was Harry.
Hi.
I was wondering, you talk a lot about all the great talent you have in NXT right now. Obviously, there's a glut. What do you see as the next main event feud in NXT?
Whatever resonates most. You know, obviously, we have a lot of an unsolved mystery right now, and we got to get to the bottom of that. So, you know, there's just a lot of things going on. It's hard to tell. You kind of just start to mess with things and see where they go, you know. There's a ton of talent. So, you know, if you'd asked me at the very, very beginning of it, what I have said to you at the first time we put them together as DIY, or the match that they had together just at the Cruiserweight Classic, would I have said that we'd be where we are today with Gargano and Ciampa and the growth that they've taken as performers to get to where they are? Ciampa's he's in a whole different stratosphere where he was not that long ago. So the intents make everybody here grow. So what I think today is irrelevant to how much they grow tomorrow, and then that changes everything. So to work in progress every single day.
All right, three more from the room. Jefferson?
Hey, man. Strong performance from Mustache Mountain. Obviously, lost. What do you see in the future for them, the strategy with them? Because obviously you're launching NXT UK. Mm-hmm. Presumably they will be a big part of that. Do they still have a role here, or is it going to be a bit of both?
I think a little bit of both. You know, I think the one thing that's cool about NXT UK is, and I look at it as like, if you want to apply it to something, just everybody's always looking for a reference point, you know, the old territory system where you have the NXT brand as the oversight, and then you have these sort of regional brands. Not any lesser, it's just the talent pool there is great, and it's meaningful to where they are. That doesn't mean they can't jump back and forth. Doesn't mean Pete Dunne as UK champion can't be here defending. It doesn't mean that Ricochet as a North American champion can't be defending there. Different brands, people can hop over and do things and move. Somebody comes out of a long-term program here or something that we need to step them off for a minute to reboot them into something else. Good. It's a great little place over there that they can go and hit it and do something big once we get that running off the ground. So I'm very high on a lot of the people in the UK. Zach Gibson did a great job tonight. Pete Dunne is Pete Dunne. So, you know, proud of all those guys. And clearly, winning the NXT Tag Championships, dropping them back, coming here, having the moment in Brooklyn, that's a really big positive right there. That those are all steps. I think sometimes everybody looks at it and goes like, well, yeah, but then they got beat. Yeah, but no, they were in a big, huge spot and take over in Brooklyn. And with the way they performed tonight, they got over. No one lost in that match. You know, at the end of the day, no one lost in that. It was awesome.
All right,
Phil.
Hi. Do we have an update on Alistair Black's injury?
Well, he's injured. He's not cleared yet. As soon as he gets cleared, I'll let you know. Yeah, it's a, it's one of those day-to-day things, right? I think I'm not really, to be honest, I'm not really sure, so I don't want to speculate on that. It's one of the, it's a doctor thing.
All right. Last one, you have. Last one.
Hey, Chuck, can you talk about some of the things that we don't see on a day-to-day basis from Gargano and Ciampa? Because obviously every time that they hit the ring, they do a great thing. But to gain your trust, to gain your confidence day in and day out, there's a lot that we don't see. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. You know, this there is this. The 20 minutes that you spend in the ring or doing what you do on TV, and then there's all the rest of the time. And in a business and a world like today, you need to have trust in people. They have to earn that trust. And once they have it, they have to keep it. But you earn that trust by the things you do on a day-to-day basis, how you work with everybody, how you handle stuff. I will say that to me, from two guys kind of walking in the door and at first not even having full contracts with us, walking in the door, and I just didn't have the budgeted room to have them as full-time contracts. But I said, guys, I really, really like you, want to work with you. Let me kind of one-off you, and I'll kind of structure a little deal around that and try to work. And as soon as I can, man, I'll move you up into what I can do, and then grow it from there. But it's, they've been a pleasure to work with. From seeing that level of guys kind of walking in the door, sheepishly trying to find a place for themselves, to now probably two of the guys that are leaders of a locker room of 100 talent or so that are of all different levels of skill, you know. And even to the point of, like, we were just at the Mae Young Classic, and Tegan Knox has a tragic injury and blows her knee out, and they take her through the back door, and the docs are there with her. And by the time I come around to the back, a lot of the other women are around her. And as I walk into the back with Doc holding the knee pad on her knee, holding the ice bag on her knee, is Tommaso Ciampa, right? Like, he's a leader. The Gargano's a leader. Aleister Black's a leader in that locker room with those people. That will resonate here. I look for those things. In talent, not everybody's going to be one, but they're the things that I look for. I look for the people that are going to help others, and, you know, want to be a part of the solution, not the problem. Want to be a part of the, you know, there's the business used to be a lot different, and there wasn't nearly as much to lose then. And you needed, if somebody was talented, you could deal with a lot of things, because you couldn't afford to lose a talent. There's a lot of talent now, and I put as much stock into the human being and the people that are here and how they interact on a day-to-day basis as I do their talent in the ring. So, you know, if somebody can be very, very talented but just not be the right human being, not be the right support system for everybody else, be detrimental to kind of the, you know, be the fly in the ointment. Is that the right saying? Fly in the, whatever that is. You know what I mean? Then I don't want them there. And I don't care how talented they are. It's all long-term potential. So if you be really talented, go be really talented somewhere else. If you're going to mess up my locker room, I don't want you here. One thing that we've nailed within NXT, the performance center, all of it, I say this all the time to that group, is the culture. I will not let anybody mess that culture up. Anybody. So it comes down to the right person. And those two are at the top of that list, and they've earned that trust. And I have that in a lot of the people here. Those are the people that you see earn the trust to get the ball.
Hey, guys, that's going to wrap it up. Any closing comments?
No, I just thank you guys for doing this and for being a part of this and your interest in continually, you know, being a part of what we're doing here, not just from the shows and reporting on the shows, which is amazing, but the interest, I think, in these performers from the moment they sign with us through their careers, through their – I just think it's a cool thing now to be able to see the arc of somebody signing with us Casey Catanzaro or somebody like that, where you see them walking in the door day one, or you see somebody that's very green walking in the door day one, and all the things that they go through on a day-to-day basis, and that interest in their career arc and how it all ebbs and flows, and the interest in how we think about it and all of that. It's very cool to see, and thank you for doing it, and hopefully this is meaningful for you, and we'll keep doing it. So thank you very much.